This is a brave and bold session. I've got a pretty strong opinion about what's going on in the business, and I can tell you that I have, through my company, access to a lot of numbers about what goes on in the business. For those of you who don't know me, Waypoint Analytics is a company that calculates detailed cost and profit information for our clients. They send us all of their transaction data and their financials every week or every month, and we keep 2 to 3 years of data on the system at all times, and they have reports they can look at. They can see where they make and lose money because we calculate an actual P&L on every line of every invoice. So we know whether an invoice is profitable or an order or a customer or product line and so on. Because of that, I have actual financial statements from our clients. And we look over, by the way, about $60 billion worth of business and distribution. And so we have a pretty wide swath of the market in about 60 of the 150 channels that exist. We have an opportunity to look and see what's going on. And we've been doing a deep analysis this year because our focus this year at Waypoint, our company theme is client results. We're redoubling our effort to make sure that everybody that's using Waypoint is getting massive profit gains for having done that. So we're taking a deep look at what causes profit gains and where they come from. And we've started to recognize the actual dynamics of the business. And I'm thinking, you know, if I'm down in the trenches and I can say, well, go make this sale, I got a little bit of a window into something I might be able to do better. But if I'm a CEO or a CFO or a sales vice president, and I understand the real dynamics of business, it's like discovering DNA. Now, DNA, just knowing about DNA, isn't something that's going to help you do anything specific. But there are thousands of things that come out of our knowledge of DNA that allow us to figure out who people are, figure out what's wrong with them if they're sick, find out what kinds of things makes them better or worse, what kinds of things give you blue eyes or not. And we can get an awful lot of understanding out of this core knowledge. And we start looking at this core knowledge, my imagination runs wild with the things that we can do. And so what I've done is I've spent the last few months thinking about what the overall strategy for a business would be. And some of this is going to be completely counterintuitive, and I'm going to tell you it is going to go totally against everything I was ever taught about business in the early days. But I was taught that by people that didn't know what we know now. We now know about DNA. And before DNA was known, there was other beliefs about how things worked that were validated and things that were refuted when we got to our knowledge of DNA. So, to introduce myself, I'm Randy McLean, the president of Waypoint Analytics. I invented a new costing system because activity-based costing doesn't work very well for distribution. It was designed for manufacturing. And so we had to develop a new kind of costing so we could deliver the kind of product that we deliver. Our clients, by the way, have the average gain from our clients in NBT, net before taxes, is 174%. That's the average for our clients that get gains. We monitor and advise on over $60 billion for the business. And I'm an author. I've written two books so far. One of them is number one bestseller on Amazon. And I've written a number of articles, and I advise quite a number of companies across the world on what I know about profitability and how it's made. And I have the great privilege to learn from all of the other experts in here what they know so that I can point people in their direction. These people here, by the way, I will tell you, they're all here for one of the reasons is that they provide services and advice to companies like yours. So all the experts here are not here just to speak. They actually, if you find something in here that makes a lot of sense to you, part of what they do and how they make their money is companies engage them to come back and do a deeper dive and help them implement some of the things you're hearing about. So don't hesitate to ask them for assistance if there's something that really will work for you. I'm also a reasonably good ballroom dancer, although my wife probably disagrees back here somewhere, and I'm an NRA certified instructor, something I have the great privilege of being since I moved to the U.S. My Canadian friends will know that they're old enough, they took most of that stuff away from us. The Second Amendment doesn't exist up there. So I enjoy doing things that would be technically illegal where I came from. Also, I want to thank my American friends for the privilege of being able to come to this country. So I wake up every morning 21 years later, and think that I'm blessed to be able to wake up in the sunshine of Scottsdale and to be able to ride my bike and to live amongst some of the finest people that I know. I don't want to diminish my Canadian friends because my family is Canadian, of course, and I love Canada. But I just get to do a few things here that I couldn't do up there. All right. And I have to say that because I'll be busted as soon as I talk about going out and about. So they'll say, busted. We got you. You're not from here. All right. Okay. There's some limiting beliefs that are keeping us from being able to do the things that we'd like to do. The first limiting belief we have is that every sale adds an increment to the bottom line. And frankly, it's just not true. The reason that we have this is at some point, most of us, maybe all of us, went through an exercise saying, what's a good sale? And a good sale would be, in my view, I'd worked this out at one time, a good sale is a sale that will cover our costs and give us a little bit of profit, and the number I came up with was about 22%. And from that, not being a statistician, I didn't understand how averages could be abused, and so I said every sale that comes in over 22% is probably a good sale. And frankly, that's just not true. And I'll explain why that is in a moment. Second thing is that gross margin is somehow equivalent to profit. And so that also leads us to defend margins at all costs. And quite frankly, gross margin percentage has as little to do with profitability as the phases of the moon. And I'll explain why in a little while. Now, I know there's some guys in the audience saying, this guy's a nut. But before you charge up here with torches and pitchforks, give me a chance to make my case and see if you'd agree with me at the end of it. Sales coverage equals growth. And that is something that is true at a certain phase of every market. But I think we're past that phase, and we'll talk about that as well. And then the last thing that is absolutely a killer, the thing that will prevent a company from being able to move forward, is the belief that you can do the math in your head. And frankly, I can do a lot of math in my head. I'm a numbers guy and a computer programmer, and I understand, I just love numbers. I was born to be a numbers guy. But when we look at a particular sale, and it has this much sales cost, but not any warehouse cost because it's a direct, and it's coming from an order that's over the web and not being entered in, but we had to market to get it, and then it had to be split and delivered in two trucks because it went to two different. It gets to be a little bit much. And it's a miracle when all these things intersect and tell you exactly whether you made or lost money on a sale. And frequently what you find out is not what you'd be able to do in your noodle. And so one of the problems that we have is that people won't believe that they can get a better result. And so like Henry Ford says, if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're right. And that's exactly one of the frustrations we have, because there's some miraculous, marvelous companies run by some astounding people that just can't get the courage to jump over the hump and get moving because they can't back it up with a mental validation. And so this is one of the things that will slow us down. Okay, a couple questions here. How many money-losing invoices do you think you have in your company? Anybody want to venture a guess? What's the right answer off of here? Anyone? Pardon me? Half, 50%. 35%. Pardon me? Yeah. The right answer is 62.5%. 62.5% of all the invoices written in distribution across $60 billion lose money. 62%. Most of what we do is losing money. Okay. So let's talk about how many is made. And I want you to give me some grace on this, because frankly, most executives don't know how the companies make money. And you may be amongst that, and it's because you've been misled in what you thought before, what you've been taught. So I'm going to have for those of you who already know this, please give me some grace while we make sure we have a level playing field to move forward. But frankly, here's how a sale works. You have gross profit dollar production, and gross profit dollars are made of volume times gross margin percentage, plus add-ons, fees, delivery fees, fuel surcharges, pallet charges, environmental surcharges. Those are things that add gross profit to the sale. What takes it away is cost to serve, and cost to serve is almost wholly driven by transaction counts. The more orders that you have to process, the more picks that you have in the warehouse, the more deliveries that you have to have, the bigger server you have to have, you need more hard drive space to take more records, you have more people picking little bits of stuff back in the warehouse, you use up more packaging material in the warehouse to put the orders to pick, pack, and ship, and so on. If you reduce the count of any of those things, you're going to reduce your logistical cost of the organization. And all we are is logistical organizations. That's all we do. We move product in one door, out another door, and we mark it up and provide a service to the industry by consolidating orders. And cost to serve is the other half of the equation. So you can think about it as the money that you make is the spread between the gross profit dollars and the cost to serve. In order to be able to see that more clearly, we have redefined the P&L. And every one of you can do this when you get home. And by the way, all the presentations that you have that we're giving here are on your flash drive, on that USB flash drive that we gave you. And of course, you can download it. You got a note, some of you are following along on your devices. But all of these presentations are available for you to go back and teach yourself when you get home. And here's what the here's what we've done. You can do this. You can make your own version in your own system. Tony, time check? 20 minutes, thanks. Okay. Revenue, less cost of goods is gross profit. We all know that. Then we have this thing that we call cost to serve or operating expenses. What makes it different in our P&L and other people's P&Ls, we have removed sales compensation. So the pay that we have for the sales force is taken out of the equation. And there's a couple of reasons for this. And the first reason is nobody, and I mean nobody, does a good job of sales compensation. And if you include the cost of sales force in any profit analysis you do, it's going to confound your ability to get results. Because you will have some guy that's been opening a new territory and you're paying him $40,000 and it's not paying yet and you know it and you're willing to take the losses. But if you do a customer analysis, all of his customers are going to look like disasters and everything he sells is going to look like a disaster. And it's not because we don't know to leave this number out. So we've invented this number called Net Before Compensation, NBC. And this is the magic number. This is the number that you run the business on. Because if you want to make the business better, if you want to have more money in the business, it's a sum of increasing your gross profit and reducing your cost to serve. And you do either one of those two things or both, and the company makes more money, and you have fewer than 62.5% of your invoices losing money. So you can do this right now, make a version of your P&L for NBC and start managing on NBC. Okay, gross profit, revenue times margin plus fees. Cost to serve is basically related to or driven by orders, picks, invoices, and deliveries. And here's the problem with gross margin. I've just listed 7 things that affect profitability. Gross margin is only one of them. And the problem is we're wholly focused on one of the elements that contribute to profitability. And that has been the downfall of many a business, many a sales division. And it's one of the reasons why as a salesman, a branch manager, a sales VP, a company president, I've had countless initiatives that have failed to deliver good results because I've been wholly focused on the only one of the elements that contributes to profitability. Okay. So we've established the profits as GP generated less cost to serve. Now here's an important concept. Each sale has its very own gross profit dollar production and has its very own cost to serve. And here's the interesting thing. Gross margins distribution run 15 to 35%. Would you agree maybe 40%? That throwing out the outliers, that's kind of what we're operating with. And low sales down in the 15, hopefully not below 15 range. Can we agree on that? What we know, because we work in costs all day, is cost to serve can go from 0% to 200 or 300% of revenue. So if I get a bucket of balls with gross profit margins written on them in the 15 to 35 range, and another bucket of balls that go from 0 to 200, and I pull 2 balls out at random and match them together, turns out 62.5% of my invoices are going to have a cost to serve percentage that's higher than the gross margin percentage. Does it follow? And so here's what the problem is. We believe that every time we get a sale, as long as it meets a threshold on one of the seven elements, that it's going to be making us money. And it doesn't. And most of the sales, 62.5% of the sales that we have, instead of adding a small more increment that adds up to that $1 million bottom line we have at the end of the year, adds a loss to the bottom line. And we have to make up the profit somewhere else just to stay even. And this is the problem with our whole business. We're totally focused on driving that one element, and we've completely left unmanaged the transaction counts, which drive the costs. So each sale will add to or delete from the bottom line. Now, here's the cool thing. If you start working out these numbers, you can work out profit rankings. And you can start with the most profitable customer, working to the one that loses the most money, or the most profitable product, or the most profitable invoice, or in fact, the most profitable invoice line, and rank them all. And you can make a profit ranking report. Bruce has been talking about profit ranking reports for years. Brent has been talking about profit ranking reports for years. And there's a really cool way of visualizing what's going on, and that's a whale curve. So the way that this works is that we have a blank chart, and we put our most profitable sale on the left-hand end, and then we add on top the money from the second most, third, fourth, fifth, working our way up the curve, until we run out of profitable sales. Along the back, these are the break-even sales, and then we start to get into the loss territory, and at the very end, we have the worst sale ever that lost us the most money. Now, think about what's going on here. Now, we have some terminology that we're using with this. This back of the whale is the peak internal profit. That's how much money was made on the best of the money-making business in every company. And every company has a whale curve. And then we have this other number that we call realization. Oops. Got a little carried away on the clicker here. Then what we have is the percentage of profit that we actually have left over after we paid off all the losses we took on the bad business. This is how much we have left out of what we made, the realization. Anybody want to get a hazard to guess what the average realization is for wholesale distribution? How much of that peak internal profit, the money we already made on the best part of the business, we actually get to the bottom line? We have left after we pay off all the losses we take on the dysfunctional business? Anybody? 25%? Any other? Got some knowledgeable people here. It actually is 25%. Most companies make four times their bottom line and then lose three quarters of it to dysfunctional business. And there's this old parable about a monkey, and there's a jar of nuts, and the monkey reaches in the jar and grabs a big handful of nuts and then can't get his now full hand back through the neck of the bottle. And the farmer's coming, and he's trying to get away, and the farmer's getting closer and closer, and he will not let go of those nuts, and the farmer catches the monkey. And gosh, that's us. We're going to hang on to those money-losing sales. You know, it drives our rebates. It drives our volume. It gives us bragging rights at cocktail parties with the revenue numbers and all that stuff. And we're going to hang on to that money-losing business for all it's worth. And it's the biggest preventer of making profits. But it can be fixed. Here's what's really going on out there. This is the money that we make in what we're doing. This is a $20 million business. Got a $5.5 million sold, delivered, collected bottom line on $20 million. Or at least on part of its $20 million. And then it loses all of this at the other end. So what's really happening is the yellow bar, the company doesn't even keep. It's just used to pay off losses on the other side. The green is all that's left for the company to have. And that's what's going on in every one of your businesses right now. And this is the thing about DNA. If you know this is going on, what kinds of things could you do with this knowledge? Understanding there's millions of dollars flowing through your business right now. You don't have to find another customer. You don't have to make another sale. You don't have to raise another price. You don't have to do anything. It's already there. But you're wasting it on dysfunctional business at the other end. Just knowing that it's already in your hands, what could you do with this knowledge? And this is happening. You can look at your bank statement. You can see the results of all the deposits you put in. You can look at how, just go through your bank statements and add up your deposits for each month for a year. It's your revenue. And then you start having all those checks going out to pay for all kinds of services for customers that aren't sharing the load. So here's the problem. Those cross subsidies from one customer to another, from the best business to the bad business, that's the basis of all current business operations. It's the way it works. Good customers basically are supporting dysfunctional competitors. That's what's going on. And the accounting systems, the accounting systems that we use, do you know when the double entry bookkeeping system that we have automated under our computers was invented? 1493. So we're using a 500-year-old method of accounting for a business from way before they even knew, really knew what gross profit was. And that's how we're running our business. And the systems we have are really good at telling us, helping us manage our inventory, helping us manage our receivables, and giving us the last number at the bottom line so we can have something to report to the bank and the IRS. And they're great at that. But they don't tell us anything about how we make and lose money, and they're not showing us any of the whale curve. And that's one of the things that everybody will be changing over the next 5 years. Any companies that don't have systems for this by 2020, I don't even know how they're going to exist because they're going to get eaten. I'm going to show you why. Now, here's what's going on in the business. Time check, Tone? Thank you. If you were going to be honest about about this with your customers, what would you do? You go out to your customer and you say, "You're our best customer in the whole world. We make a ton of money on you. We love you guys. You guys are great. We make a fortune on you. You guys are so efficient. You buy in large quantities. We've got a $5,000 average invoice. Only one location. We got two orders a month. My God, you guys are great. And thank you very much." And the customer says, "If we're so great, could we get maybe a little discount on that?" "Oh, God, no. We can't discount." Because, and I'm not greedy. I'm not keeping this money for myself, I'll have you know. I'm actually taking 80% of the money that we make from you, and I'm giving it to your competition. Because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be able to afford to do business with these guys. They're idiots. You know, they got emergency orders three times a day. They got their guys off the job site in front of our counter all the time. They don't know what they're doing. But thank God you're here because we got your money, and we're going to give it to them. So thank you so much. Aren't we great guys? So here's something that's interesting. Transaction counts control costs. And I've had the salespeople say, "Oh, we can't be paid on profit because we don't affect the cost of the business. We just affect the sale." That's hogwash. I was a salesman. I'd run in and say, "No, no, the customer has to have it this way. No, he wants it delivered on red trucks on Wednesday and blue trucks on Thursday because it's really convenient for them to see, look out the window and see what kind of truck it is." "Okay, we'll do it." I mean, we just basically, the sales force is used to negotiate price versus terms. Now we just let them negotiate price, and when you're only negotiating one element, there's only one direction price can go. What direction is that? Down. Because you start here, what your price is, they want something else, you saw off somewhere in between there, and you went at a lower price, and it happens over and over again. And what we're supposed to be doing is saying, "You're a great customer, of course we can give you a discount. Because you're really efficient, and we're going to keep you, and we're going to make sure that nobody can approach you on our pricing, as well as our service, as well as the other things that we have." And for the other guys, the other side, "We want a discount. We'd love to give you a discount. Let's find some way of changing the cost to serve so we have some money to fund that." Now, here's the thing that's really amazing. I've got two customers here that look just about the same. And on the left-hand side, and I'm sorry for the small numbers, I'll try and read them off for you. We got a $272,000 customer. That's not to me, by the way. I don't measure customers by revenue. This customer is a $58,000 customer because that's gross profit. And that's all I have to run the customer on. Can't spend anything more than that on the customer. I lose money. This is a $58,000 account to me. I don't care about the $272,000. He's taking three orders a week and it's costing $1,600 to process the orders. 762 picks, four deliveries a week, one invoice a week. We're spending $63,000 a year servicing a $58,000 account. Now, guess which end of the whale curve this guy is on. Okay. Now, Merrifield suggests when you're looking at this, go find the good twin of this guy. So we look up at the top of the list. This guy's $261,000, so they're in the ballpark for revenue. It's actually only a, for gross profit, it's only a $43,000 account, not a $58,000 account. But we're only spending $38,000 servicing the account. So we're making $5,000. And remember, NBC, I will tell you, NBC is the amount of money that the company splits with the sales force. Part of it goes to the sales force, part of it goes to the company. And by the way, in wholesale distribution right now, and you can do the math yourself, just take your bottom line, add your sales force cost back into it, and find out how much your NBC was, and find out what proportion they got. And the number is going to be between 50 and 60%. Right now, the sales force gets more than the company does in general, in wholesale distribution in North America. So, here's the interesting thing with these accounts. Look at the margins. Our money-losing customer is a 22 margin. Our money-making customer is a 16 margin. 5 points, 6 points less in margin, and they're profitable. And what is the difference? The difference is these guys are two orders a week, the other guys are three. These guys are two and a half deliveries a week, the other guys are three, or four. And they're two invoices a week, and the other guys are three. That's the only difference between these two customers. Two to three. That's all you'd have to do with the customer at the bottom to turn them into a profitable account. And that's something that's negotiable. That's something that you can act on. It's actionable, and it changes the dynamic of the business in a huge way. And this is the crux of what it is that we want to do. Okay. Now, here's what I'm going to suggest for a strategy. This is bold, and some of you guys will do it, and it's going to be very, very harmful to the competition. Some of you guys are going to wait and see, and some of you guys are not going to do it, and you're going to get crushed. And I'm sorry for you, but I'm there to help when you decide you're going to change. All right. 60 to 70% of the most efficient and profitable customers is the goal. This is the end state of our strategy. And the difference between a winning company and a losing company is who your customers are. And the winning company is the company that has the lion's share of the profit in their marketplace. Any company can be the winning company. And in fact, our research shows that small companies, yes, what are we, 2 minutes? Thank you. Our research shows that small companies actually have an advantage because small companies, the owners run the business. Larger companies, the business runs them. It takes a long time to get everybody on board and make a decision. It means that smaller companies have an advantage and have an ability to potentially be the leader in the marketplace in a couple of years. Second end state, profit generation, 2 times the industry rates at margins that are 5 to 10% below the market. You can support that only if you remember the monkey and give up some of the business at the low end that's taken you down. And have market-leading concierge service and a corresponding reputation. This is the end state of the strategy. Now, I'll spend more time with you. In fact, we're going to run a webinar in about 2 weeks. We're going to spend an hour talking about specifically this strategy, and you'll all be invited. Also, zero short-term debt and zero operating interest expense. A lot of us have been using an operating line for so long that we can't imagine running the business without it, and that's something that we would like to eliminate. And we'll have an above-average pay for an above-average workforce and destroy the competition. That's the end state. So here's where we go. Start by reforming or trading significant profit drain accounts. We want to tilt the playing field. We want to start adding, using profit add-ons with the customers at the right hand of the whale to either make them profitable, or we want to negotiate new terms with them so they become profitable and they go to the other side of the whale and start to contribute to the business. If we're unable to do that, we'll just keep cranking the terms up until they fire themselves and go off to a competitor. So we're going to tilt the playing field so money-losing dysfunctional business is going to roll down towards our competition. We're going to then reduce our transaction counts wherever we can and capture those savings losing infrastructure that's not necessary to support such a broad range of business. And that may be personnel. It may be redeploying people so they can get to some of those B priorities that we haven't got to because we're too busy servicing dysfunctional business. Tone, what we got? Okay. So we're going to build a price advantage by reducing those cross subsidies, and then we're going to use it to aggressively price and pursue target accounts, the markers of the accounts that are best, and we're going to get them to the competition. We're going to tilt the playing field back towards us for the best accounts, and we're going to have a service advantage and a price advantage to be able to back it up because we no longer need that big yellow chunk of profits at the top to service the dysfunctional business on the other side. If we don't get rid of the service, the business on the other side, we're going to be taking the money out of our bottom line, and we're not going to do that. What we want to do is we want to take that yellow money and we want to split it up in three ways. We want part of it to go to our bottom line. We want part of it to go to better service for those guys, and we want part of it to go back to the customer to build a price advantage. And we think the price advantage is about 8 to 10% is possible in our numbers. When that happens, the competition won't be able to get those customers back because the only way they'll be able to match the price advantage, because they have a whale curve too, is they're going to have to take it out of their bottom line because they're going to continue to service the bad accounts. If we load them up with more bad accounts, the only way they can maintain their bottom line is by increasing the pricing on their best customers in order to have more money to fund and subsidize the guys at the other end of the whale curve. And so they'll be have margin pressure on them that will be astronomical and will basically be setting them on the road to bankruptcy. This is an aggressive strategy, and this is the kind of thing that I think a company could use to move forward the next couple of years. I'm saying we should be doing it by 2020. My guess is a lot of the customers that aren't already doing it, and we have clients that are, will have done it by the end of 2015, 2016. And I hope you're amongst them, and I hope you're taking the benefits of it. And I have nothing but pity for the people that don't get it and start to get those more and more dysfunctional customers as we drive them off and get hyper-focused on the people that make us money. So I'm going to wrap it up there. We're going to move into another session.